The Seder is a time of great unity. It unifies people from all sorts of backgrounds. Often at a Seder, we'll have people from different levels of orientation and of commitment. It really is a time for what we would call a Rav Siach, really multiple participatory dialogue. That's really what should be happening. And that can be said on a micro level or on a macro level. I'd like to demonstrate that actually built into the Haggadah, there's that piece. One thing that's clear to us, and notably, is that the directive for the Haggadah is Matchil Begnut U'Mesayim B'Shevach. That's the rule in the Mishnah, Matchil Begnut U'Mesayim B'Shevach. And the question is, what does gnut mean? And famously, Rav says gnut means mitchila ovdei avodah zara hayu avotenu, that we were originally ovdei avodah zara. Machlok within the Bavli and the Yerushalmi, whether you say that particular line, but it's clear that Rav's point is that the gnut and ostensibly the shevach is about our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu and our association with monotheism. And Shmuel or Rava, there's different Gersot in the Gemara, and this is only in the Bavli, says that the Gnut is Avadim Hayinu, which most people would say is what the story is about, Avadim Hayinu, and our subsequent liberation. And yet, what do we do in the Seder?
Shneim.
We do both. That's why Rehuda of Rabbi Akar, interestingly, the Rebbe of the Ramban, in his commentary on the Haggadah, suggested that there really are two Haggadot. There's the Haggadah of Rav and the Haggadah of Shmuel. And he demonstrates how different parts of the Haggadah belong to this story or that story, but in effect, we weave them together. I'd like to show you how there's yet another piece that is perhaps more overreaching than even the Gnut Shevach question, which also plays into the Seder, and also there are two perspectives, and also we do both of them. What is the conversation of the evening supposed to be about? I think it'd be safe to say, most people would just say on the spot, it's about Yetziat Mitzrayim. As a matter of fact, we have a passage at the very beginning of Magid in which we tell the story of Avadim Hayinu, that's Shmuel's Haggadah, as it were. And we point out that no matter how bright and how well-versed we are, everybody's obligated to engage in Sipur Yetziat Mitzrayim. And the more you do, the better it is. And that's followed by the very famous story that gives us Tzomet Mesubim, the very famous story of the Mesubim B'nei Brak, the five Chachamim who stayed up all night. And they were sharing stories about Yetziat Mitzrayim. They were Oskim B'Sipur Yetziat Mitzrayim. And who are the Chachamim? So you have the names here. They're very famous. Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Tarfon. By the way, those five names put us where in history. At what point in history are we standing if we have those five names? We're standing in the generation immediately after the destruction. Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua are the elders. Rabbi Akiva is the student. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is his younger colleague. And Rabbi Tarfon is somewhere in the middle, a bit of a Rav Chaver to Rabbi Akiva. Notice that there is one absentee from this Seder, which is notable. Who else should be at that Seder who isn't there?
Rabbi Gamliel.
Gamliel. So
Yeah.
you're Gamliel. So there's about three different approaches to explaining where Rabbi Gamliel is. Answer number one is a prosaic one, which is Rabbi Gamliel very likely was on his way to or in Rome, dealing with what Rabbi Gamliel had to go to Rome for, which was negotiating on behalf of the Jewish community, something the Nasi had to do often. The second possibility, of course, is that this was during the time of the ouster, where Rabbi Gamliel was on the outs, as it were. He was never thrown in cheder, but on the outs. And Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is the Nasi, and right, it could be that it was exactly at that juncture, perhaps. But it's likely, because we have evidence to this, that Rabbi Gamliel wasn't at this gathering because he had a different kind of gathering. And so if you take a look here at the Tosefta in Psachim, in our Perek Yod, Perek Arvei Psachim, you have the following rule. Ein maftirin achar pesach afikoman. Now we're familiar with that from the Mishnah also. By the way, what does afikoman mean? So afikoman originally, it's a Greek word epikomen, which refers to the custom they had of going out of the house after a feast and going into another house to continue the feast, sometimes without the permission of the people whose house you were breaking into. But in any case, it was a continuing, progressive meal, as you might call it. Ein maftirin achar pesach afikoman, in its literal sense, means after you've had the korban pesach, you don't do this epikoman thing and go somewhere else, because shelo yetzei michavura zu lechavura acheret, as we find in the Mechilta. The word afikoman, already by the time of this Tosefta, ends up takes on the meaning of dessert. So it gets a gagon, egozin, tamarim, uklayot, meaning after you eat the korban pesach, you don't eat these other things. Pesach should be the last thing that you eat. Afikoman in modern colloquy ends up being the opposite, which is it's the thing you do eat at the end. But that's not what it means. But in any case, that's the halacha. Then chayav adam la'asok, this is not in the Mishnah, in Tosefta, chayav adam la'asok b'hilchot ha-pesach kol ha-layla. And by the way, the Mechaber quotes this, albeit with a slight nuance, even if you're alone or you only have one person with you, be engaged in Hilchot HaPesach. Now, this doesn't necessarily stand in any opposition to the story that we heard or the ruling we heard before that, Kol Amarba, etc. Because the idea would be that during the evening you engage in Sipur Yetziat Mitzrayim, and then when the Seder is over, you should stay up learning Hilchot Korban Pesach, except for the following. Now, by the way, if you just stop there, you say, this sounds like exactly the story we know from the Haggadah, except it's different characters. It's Rabban Gamliel Vazkenim instead of Rabbi Eliezer et al. But here's Rabban Gamliel, who was missing from the other one. Here's his Seder with his Zakenim. So they're not in Bnei Brak, they're nearby in Lod. These are towns that are fairly near Yavne and within the trajectory of Yavne, as it were. Now, by the way, Hilchot HaPesach is not the same as Hilchot Pesach. Hilchot Pesach, in common genre, sort of the way that the Torah and Hilchot Pesach refers to the laws of the holiday. Hilchot HaPesach, though, means the laws of the Korban HaPesach. And they were studying the Hilchot Korban HaPesach, Kol HaLayla Ad Krot HaGever, all night until dawn. They're involved in Hilchot Korban HaPesach. And again, the same thing until the it was time for them to go to the Beit HaMidrash, just like Higi Azman Kriyat Shavash Shacharit. It's almost the same story. It's just different people and different material. And so you find that you can make the argument that the Seder in the evening is supposed to be either an experience of retelling the story of Yetziat Mitzrayim or a halachic engagement in the laws of Korban Pesach. And as I mentioned, what is it that we do at the Seder? The answer is we do both. Because, of course, we have Armi Oved Avi, which is focused on Yetziat Mitzrayim. But after Armi Oved Avi, we get to one other piece. So you see the Mishnah dictates both. The Mishnah that we've looked at from a different angle before, Mazgulo Kos Sheni, V'chana Ben Shoal Aviv, Manishtanat, Baben, Aviv Malamdom, Manishtanat, etc. Matchil Begnutu Mesayim B'Shevach, V'doresh Me'arami Oved Avi, Ad Shugumer Kol HaParsha. Now, Armi Oved Avi is a story. It's a story about Galut and Avdut and Tefillah and Gula. It's about us going to Mitzrayim and being enslaved and praying to God and God saving us with all of the wonders and the Makot, etc. And yet, the very next Mishnah says, Rabban Gamliel Omer or Haya Omer, Kol Shalom Omar Shloshad Varim Elu BaPesach Lo Yatzal Yedei Chovato. Now, you might find this to be a little bit different than the reading in your Haggadah, because this is from Tadav Kaufman of the Mishnah. Pesach Matzah Umirorim. I color-coded them for a reason. You'll see in a few minutes. And then Pesach, the reason for Pesach is Hashem jumped over the houses. By the way, notice, the reason for the Korban Pesach is celebrating being saved from Makat B'chorot. Murorim, because of the bitterness of slavery. And Matzah Hashem Shinigalu. All right, good. But notice that Rabban Gamliel's focus, and it is Rabban Gamliel here, his focus in the evening is about the Korban HaPesach. Matzah and Maror are the things they're eating with the Korban Pesach. So you have to explain the Korban Pesach and its garnishes, if you will, its appurtenances, and explain the reason for them. And otherwise, lo yatzai de chovato. So he puts the emphasis in the evening on the Hilchot Korban HaPesach. So before going further, you see right away that just as we did with Gnut, and did both Rav and Shmuel's Gnut, we also do with the evening, we spend the evening engaged in Sipur Yetziat Mitzrayim, but we also talk about Korban HaPesach. So we do adopt both models, albeit Rabbi Gamliel is taking a back seat to the other, that Hilchot Korban HaPesach is minor, shall we say, relative to Sipur Yetziat Mitzrayim.
Yes.
The thing about Rabbi Gamliel. Rabbi Gamliel, in Masechet Eduyot, we're familiar with Eduyot, we've talked about it a number of times. Masechet Eduyot is probably one of the earliest Masechet, maybe the earliest Masechet to be compiled. It was compiled in Yavne in the first generation, and its purpose was to be a living testimony to practices during the times of the Mikdash that was compiled afterwards, after the destruction, really with the anticipation that any day now the Mikdash will be rebuilt and we need to know how to put things into practice. In Masechet Eduyot, we have all sorts of, kind of like Pirkei Avot, it focuses on different personalities. In Avot, it's the personalities and their advice, chiefly to Dayanim. And in Eduyot, it's personalities and their particular, somewhat unique, perhaps, Piskei Halacha. Rabbi Gamliel here in the third parak of Eduyot had three well-known kulot, and one of the kulot he had, one of the lenient rulings he had, which means there was an opposite ruling of stringency, was osin gdim mikulas b'leilei psachim. He said you're allowed to have a gdim mikulas on Pesach night. Now, Rabbi Gamliel, this is after the Churban. What's a gdim mikulas? So the Tosefta elsewhere in Beitzat tells us, Ezu gdim mikulas. Kulot, it's brought here because there's a question about whether you can make gdim mikulas on Yom Tov. Mesachat Beitzat, Mesachat Yom Tov. Ezu gdim mikulas, what's a gdim mikulas? It should look familiar. Kulot, it's all roasted. Kra'av v'kirbo, is the legs are there, the kitchkas are there, rosho, and the whole animal is there, together, all roasted. It sounds like Korban Pesach. It's a gdi, which means it's a kid, a goat. Bishelim menu kolshu, shalak menu kolshu, ain't a gdi mikulas. If you cooked or boiled any part of it, it's not gdi mikulas, which means our definition of gdi mikulas is very narrow and it's very much a Korban Pesach. Osin gdi mikulas, now watch the position. B'yom tov arishon shalchag, you're allowed to make gdi mikulas on Pesach day. You can make it at the end of Pesach. Chag is a Sukkot, sorry. You can make it on the first night of Sukkot. You can make it on the last day of Pesach. Ego mikulas b'yom tov rishon shel Pesach. You can make a calf that's mikulas even on the first night of Pesach. Aval lo gdi mikulas. The ruling of Chachamim is you're not allowed to make gdi mikulas on the first night of Pesach, meaning to eat at the first meal. And Rabbi Yosei todos ish Rome. He's a famous story about Theodore of Rome, who was a wealthy man. He dafka in Rome had the Jews take dimikulas at the Seder. Amrulo, the message came from Israel. That's almost like eating kochim bachutz. Because what would they call this? They call it a Pesach. In other words, They in the Gemara, there's even a stronger language that we're going to throw you in Chayrim, except that you're an important guy. We can't throw you in Chayrim, but you should be thrown in Chayrim because it looks like you're having Bnei Israel eat Kodshim away from the Mikdash, away from Eretz Israel, the Gamre in Rome. And so therefore, you see the background why Chachamim said you're not allowed to have Gdim Mikulas at the Seder. Rabbi Gamliel said you can't, which means in Rabbi Gamliel's Seder, there was a Gdim Mikulas, meaning it looked like the Korban Pesach, and they would talk about the Korban Pesach. And by the way, remember, what is one of the three Manishtana components, call it questions or statements, that's in the Mishnah is, Shebechol Eltanu Ochlin, Basar Tzali Shalukum Vushal, Halayla Zeh Kulot Tzali, which means whatever school was authoring that passage was authoring it in a place where they had Gdim Mikulas. And they were asking about that. Parenthetically, in Haggadat Eretz Yisrael, which reflects the Minhag of Eretz Yisrael from the 6th, 7th, and 8th centuries, they had the question about Basar Tzali, because they were still doing Gdim Mikulas. And so you see, Rabbi Gamliel's focus really is on the Korban Pesach. What is with the Korban Pesach? So it's an interesting component here. And I really do want to give credit. I put it on the notes, but I'll give credit to Professor Aaron Shemesh from Bar-Ilan, passed away a while ago, way too young. In the brilliant article he wrote that I just finally got to this past Shabbat, in which he pointed this out. Much of this is really material that I got from his article. He points out that the famous passage, Leil Shimurim, that Pesach is called, and Pesach night is called Leil Shimurim, is actually read in two opposite ways. The way that it's conventionally read and that affects our practice is to read it as, this is a night of great protection. Meaning, we don't say psukim and kriyat shema lamita that have to do with protection, like Hashkivenu and Yosheva Seta. We just say Shema and Amapil and go to sleep. And we open the door and we do all sorts of things to reflect that we're not afraid of anything. There's a passage in the Mechilta that reflects that. And that's where Yeshua says, that's the night that Hashem redeemed us. He's going to redeem us in the future. It's a night that he's guarding for the future. But take a look at the last line in the Mechilta. You have a different opinion. Magid shekol Yisrael tzrichin lishtamer bo. Which means a night of great protection doesn't mean the great protection is there. It's a night in which you need great protection. It's a night in which the first time that night ever happened in history, we needed the protection of the dam on the mezuzot and the mashkov to protect us. And so therefore, every year you need that kind of protection. So it is indeed possible that we would say you need the Korban Pesach every year on that night as part of your protection against whatever threat there is. And of course, if you don't have a Korban Pesach, what do you do? So what do we do? And so Gemara and Zvachim, what do we do when we can't bring a particular Korban, like we don't have a Beit HaMikdash? What do? So we rely on Rava, who says, Kol ha'osek b'torat olah, ma'aleh ala v'katuv, ki ilu kiv olah. Anybody who studies the laws of the olah, it's as we brought an olah, which is why many people, and you look in your sidurim, it's there. Many people skip it. Many people every morning say the parsha of the Korban Tamid. They say it in the afternoon before Mincha, the parsha of the Korban Tamid. They say the Ketoret. All of these things are basically neshama farim shvatenu. Let our lips take the place of the Korbanot because we don't have a Beit HaMikdash. We'll say the Torah. So it could be that Rabbi Gamliel's position is that after the Mikdash is destroyed, we need to still have a Korban Pesach. So let's talk about the Korban Pesach and we'll have whatever close thing we can have at the table. And he was permitting it. So now that leads us to another discussion about what the Korban Pesach itself was really about. And just as we saw a split between Gnut, Rav, and Shmuel, we saw a split about the focus of the evening, Yetziat Mitzrayim, Rabbi Kiva et al., and Rabbi Gamliel Korban Pesach. Within Korban Pesach, we're going to see a split. What does the Pesach commemorate? What does the Pesach celebrate? The Korban Pesach. What is it about? And the answer is, it's a machloket. I don't mean this way, but it's a machloka between Sefer Shmot and Sefer Dvarim. I don't mean it that way, but take a look. Look at the pasuk from Sefer Shmot. It's the answer we give to the kid who says, Ma avodah zot lachem. We tell him, Zevach Pesach. What, by the way, what's the holiday called in English? They call it Passover, because that's one way of translating Pasach. The other way is protect. Ask somebody on the street, why is it called Passover? They say, I don't know. It means unleavened bread. They don't know what it means. But if you ask somebody what it's called Pesach or Passover, because Hashem passed over the houses instead of killing our firstborn. And that's what we say in the Pasuk. Zevach Pesach hu la'adonai asher pasach al batei b'nei Yisrael b'mitzrayim b'nokpot mitzrayim ben bateinu itzil. Interesting, in Sefer Dvarim, it's all different. V'asita Pesach, this is in Parshat Rei, in the lane we have in Chutzlar, it's on the last day of second day of Shavuot, and last day of Pesach, and on Shmini Atzeret. This laning only happens in Re'eh in Israel. In other words, the Korban Pesach is a celebration of Yitziat Mitzrayim. And notice that there is an emphasis here, you left Mitzrayim in haste, and you look back in Shmot, and it says, eat the Korban Pesach in haste. It seems to mean that the Korban Pesach is not about being saved from Makat Bechorot. It's a, shall we say, a korban todah for being saved from a near calamity. or an impending calamity, but rather it is a feast of celebration of liberation, which would be maybe another kind of Korban Todah, perhaps. V'achaltem oto b'chipazon, right? So question is, what are we celebrating with the Korban Pesach? Are we celebrating that we weren't killed when at midnight there was Makat Bechorot and our Bechorot were saved? Or are we celebrating that the next morning after finishing the Korban Pesach and burning up what remained, we left Mitzrayim and we're celebrating our impending exodus? Good question. The reality is that Chachamim themselves are divided on the issue. If you take a look at the Mechilta on the Pasuk, which is source 10, V'achaltem oto b'chipazon, you must eat the Korban Pesach b'chipazon, by the way, only that year. In subsequent years, we eat the Pesach b'minuchat ha-nefesh. We sit, we relax, on the table, on the couch, leaning, right? But that year b'chipazon, who's chipazon? The first opinion is chipazon de Mitzrayim, meaning Egypt's chaos. When was Egypt's chaos? At midnight, when all their firstborn died. Rabbi Shimon Korchas says, Achaltem oto b'chipazon is chipazon de Yisrael. When was Am Yisrael speeding? In the morning, when they left. And then we have a third opinion, which is, quoting Rabbi Eliezer, is chipazon shechina. It's unclear whether that refers to a different time. But chipazon shechina may refer to the makot, may refer to getting us out of Mitzrayim, unclear. But notice, the chipazon itself is a little unclear. Which leads us to an interesting machloket about Korban Pesach, which is going to shed light on this whole thing. Until when do you eat Korban Pesach? We know that Korban Pesach is unique. Many ways it's unique. It's a Korban Yachid with Kavu Alam Zman, like a Korban Sibur. It's got all sorts of pieces that are unique. One of the things that's unique is that it's a Korban that's eaten only at night. Every other Korban, when do you eat a Korban? So the answer is, of course, it depends. If it's a Korban Ola, you don't ever eat it. If it's a Korban Chatat and Hashem, you don't eat it, but the Kohanim eat it that day till midnight. Midoraita till dawn, midorabban until midnight. If it's a Korban Todah, you and the Kohanim get their part, and you, the donor, eat it that day till the next morning, midorabban until midnight. What about a Shlamim? A Shlamim is that day, that whole night, and the whole next day. But there is no Korban that's eaten only at night, except Korban Pesach. So watch this Midrash. In the Sifri. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Ba'erev Atazoveach, meaning you slaughter it in the afternoon, towards evening. Kevo Hashem Hashata Ochel, you eat it after dark. Umo'etzit Cha Mitzrayim Atasoref, you burn it up at the time you left Mitzrayim, which is in the morning. He doesn't tell us until when you can eat it. We'll see more in a minute. Rabbi Kiva Omer, Ba'erev Atazoveach, Kevo Hashem Hashata Ochel, Ad Matai, Ad Mo'etzit Cha Mitzrayim. Rabbi Kiva says, you eat it until the moment that you left, meaning you eat it all night. It means any time during the night you can eat your Korban Pesach. But the Mechilta Derashbi has a little more detail here. Balayla hazeh, amar Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Now remember, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is part of our Chevra in Bnei Brak. Ne'mar kan balayla hazeh, and amar lamata by avdarati v'tzorayim balayla hazeh. He identifies the gzerah shavah between balayla hazeh, that's the command of the Korban Pesach, and Balayla Hazeh, which is the description of the impending Makat Bechorot. Ma Layla Hazeh Anemar Lamata Ad Chatzot. Just like the Balayla Hazeh in the next Pasuk that describes Hashem coming and killing the firstborn is at or until midnight. Aflayla Hazeh Anemar Kan Ad Chatzot. Therefore, Halayla Hazeh is till Chatzot, which means, according to Balazim and Azariah, you must eat the Korban Pesach by Chatzot. Amar lo Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva, we already heard from, says, Manit tzarich v'alo kvar ne'mar v'achaltem oto b'chipazon. B'shat chipazon. Meaning, you eat it in haste, which means at the moment of haste. When are we in haste? In the morning, when we're about to leave. So, matam lo balay lazeh. What's balay lazeh? Because you would think that you eat it during the day. It's only balayla. Okay. Which means Rabbi Akiva's opinion is Korban Pesach is till morning. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah's opinion is it's till midnight. By the way, that has an impact on us. Because since we hold that the last matzah we eat, that we nickname Afikomen, is Bimkom Korban Pesach, many people are makpid to not only finish their meal, but finish the Afikomen by Chatzot. Other people are not as makpid. And of course, there's the famous patent of the Avnei Nezer. I'm sure you're familiar with it, but I'll just tell you anyways. If it's getting close to chatzot, you're still in the middle of the meal, or you just started the meal, then you take a piece of matzah and you say, if halacha is like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, this is my afikoman. If halacha is like Rabbi Akiva, it's a piece of matzah. And you eat it. And then 5 minutes later, when you pass chatzot, you can eat again, because according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, you can eat regular food after chatzot, because Pesach's over. The Pesach Zman is over. And according to Rabbi Akiva, you're still in the middle of the meal, so you continue eating. Cute patent. In any case, that's this machloket. What's that machloket really about? Why would there be a machloket about whether you can eat Korban Pesach till midnight or till dawn? Question is, what's the Korban Pesach about? If the Korban Pesach is a Korban in which we are celebrating our impending Exodus, then when should we eat it until? Till dawn. That's when we left. We left later than that. But if, on the other hand, it's celebrating the fact that we were saved from Makat Bechorot, when should we eat it until? Till Chatzot. So the machloket about whether we eat it till Chatzot or all night is more than a machloket and whether I accept the Gzeres Shavah B'Layla Zeh. It's machloket about how I understand what Korban Pesach is about. Is Korban Pesach essentially a Korban in which we are thanking God for being saved from Makat Bechorot, or it's a feast celebrating our impending liberation that's going to take place in the morning? And we see that this machloket may play into yet another machloket. If you take a look here at Source 19, Source 19 is a famous, every Mishnah Arei Pesachim is famous. It's a Mishnah Arei Pesachim, which asks the question of how much you say in Hallel. Now, parenthetically, this is an aside, but a valuable aside. The Seder, and we've talked about this numerous times, the Seder is a constantly developing thing, but there are some sea changes that took place, both before the Churban till after the Churban, after it was without a Korban Pesach, huge changes, including shifting the meal to be after the Magid, etc. And other changes that took place over time, such as slowly getting the Gdima Kulas out of the picture, slowly getting the statement about Basar Tzaliyush Shaluk Mushal out of the picture, suddenly Misubin becomes part of the questions, all those changes that happened over time. One of the things that may have changed is it may indeed, the Professor Tavori makes a suggestion, and there's a lot to recommend it. He suggests that originally the evening looked like this. You made Kiddush, then you would have hors d'oeuvres. That's pretty clear from Haggadah. We talked about this last week in Haggadah to Eretz Yisrael. Different hors d'oeuvres. And then you would bring out the main food and eat it. And then pour a second cup and have the discussion. And then you would say, Lefichach, therefore we're obligated to thank you. And you would say, some Hallel. You would then drink the second cup. You then bring a third cup. You'd say, Birkat HaMazon. And that's it. That's the evening. And the question is, what Thanksgiving would you say? So take a look at this. You'll see, I'll show you his argument. The Mishnah says, Ad Eichan Hu Omer, meaning how far do you say in the chapters that begin with 1:13? Beit Shammai Reim Ad Eima Banim Smecha, which means you say the first, what we call the first chapter of Hallel, 1:13. Or Beit Hillel say Ad Chalamish Tamayin Omayim, which means you say the first two. And then the Chotem Bigula. What does Chotem Bigula mean? It means, okay, and your end of the end of that Hallel is Geula, meaning the Bracha of Gal Yisrael. And then you have the third cup, and you... Actually, he has other arguments to support the idea that that was really where the Seder originally ended, or an early point ended, and then they added a fourth cup, and they added the idea of saying the rest of what we say is Hallel, plus Birkat Hashir, and Machloket Birkat Hashir is. But in any case, back to our thing, what's the machloket Beit Shammai ben Hillel about? So the Tosefta expands it. Arichan hu omer, Beit Shammai omrim adem abarim svechal, gul omrim adacham adem shaman, maim chotem migula. That is the quote from the Mishnah. And now, Amru Beit Shammai leBeit Hillel. And there's often what you'll see in a Tosefta. There's a machloket in the Mishnah, often Beit Shammai Beit Hillel. And then in the Tosefta, you'll see the conversation behind the machloket. V'chdi kvar yatsu shem azkirin yitziat mitzrayim. Notice what Beit Shammai says. How can we say we haven't left yet? But Hillel says, and even if you wait until the end of the night, you're still not at the time we left. We left at midday. Yad Ramah. And how can you say Gal Yisrael? In other words, Beit Hillel's argument back is that we're saying things that haven't happened yet in that time of day. We're sitting at night and we're saying Gal Yisrael, and we're celebrating, though, even we haven't left yet. But underneath this may be a different machloket going on. It could be that Beit Hillel says the entire focus of the evening and the entire purpose of the Korban Pesach, and Korban Pesach, which goes until dawn, is all about celebrating the Exodus. And therefore, B'tzeit Yisrael Mitzrayim is the only paragraph you could find there that actually talks about Yitzhak Mitzrayim. Even though we call the whole thing Halal Mitzrayim, it's only one paragraph that actually talks about it. So we say paragraph Kufiyud Gimel, which is general praise to Hashem. Halu Abdei Adonai, Shem Adonai Vorach, all the beautiful praises for Hashem that are generic. And then we also talk about Yitzhak Mitzrayim, Yitzhak Mitzrayim, Mitzrayim. Even though that parak is super poetic and goes far afield from a description of Yitzhak Mitzrayim, but it mentions Yitzhak Mitzrayim. And so Beit Hillel says that's what we do. Beit Shammai says that's what the evening's about. The evening's about praising Hashem for us not dying. The Korban Pesach. And therefore, we say the perek that is a generic praise for Hashem. And now look, in Beit Shammai's world, the whole thing makes internal sense. You say, we had this event happen to us. Hashem saved us. Therefore, we're chayiv to thank him. And we say halal to praise Hashem. And then we say, Gal Yisrael, thank you very much for redeeming us, for saving us. And so in that take, this machloket may indeed reflect the other machloket about what is the purpose of the Korban Pesach, and in a larger sense, what it is we're celebrating. To whatever extent possible, with every one of these splits, we integrate both into what we do. We do both Gnut. We do both Sipur Yitzhak Mitzrayim, but also Hilchot Korban Pesach. We also mention Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Gamliel's Chiyuv to explain the three things, and we make that part and parcel of the essential Haggadah that we do. At a particular point, you can't do both. You can't say one or say one and two. Yeah, the only way to do that is say one and two and say we've included one. And so we end up doing that here, like Beit Hillel, and we say both paragraphs, but notice that there's this tension that runs through the whole evening. What is the story about? What is the Gnut and what is the Shevach? What is the Korban Pesach about? And what we do beautifully at Seder every year, and has happened into our Haggadah, is we weave them together so all of the different approaches of understanding what we're celebrating, what we're re-experiencing, unite, and everybody finds the strand that they most identify with that particular year. I am sure that this year people are going to say, Shebechol Dor Vador Omdim Aleinu L'Chalotenu, with way more Kavana than they had last year, and way more of clarity, and everybody's going to be picturing in their head October and a seven when they say those words, and they should. And the piece of this multifaceted story that we retell that most resonates with us in that particular moment is available to us in the Haggadah, which integrates all of these different perspectives.